Amen. Appreciate that good song. By the way, that reminds me that the nursing home singing will be this Saturday. That's a song they love at the nursing homes. That's a song most of them remember and know very well. So if you can help us this Saturday at 10 o'clock. It's a week early this time because we moved it, had Miss Ruth talk to them and got it moved back because of the missions conference. But if you can come help us sing Saturday at 10, I believe it'll be a blessing. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4 is where I'm taking my text tonight. And I appreciate the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit of God that gives liberty and the Spirit of God that I feel like is in the house of God tonight and was today as well. Protecting us from wrong things and faults and mistaken things. I appreciate Him protecting us, but also for leading us and guiding us into all truth and trying to point us in the right way. I appreciate the Spirit of God doing that for us. Amen. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 19 is the text. Very familiar verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please?
Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for Calvary.
Yes.
We thank you that we have a great high priest that you've got in heaven.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life. Thank you, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the power to convert sinners.
Yes.
Lord, bless and help the saints of God and give us life to walk in. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God. Now, I pray that you bless the preacher.
Help us.
Our hearts for thee, Lord. May all the glory and honor belong to you.
Yes.
Great work for each one. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. I'm preaching on prayer again tonight on these prayer secrets. And I touched on this verse early on. I don't remember a message that I preached here on a Sunday night. How that this verse puts our need in the perspective of where it should be. That need, your need, is right in the very middle of this verse. Those two words, your need. Matter of fact, it's all your need. Is right there in the middle. On one side is my God. On the other side is His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And when we put our need in between those two things, we're coupled up to the right freight train. Amen. And we can get some things done. We can get some help. And I'm glad that that's true. Amen. And so I felt like it'd be right to go and look at this tonight. And I mentioned on the radio, I've been preaching on what we call prayer secrets. And I've got the idea from a man by the name of Guy King that wrote a book by that title, preached some sermons by that title, started out with 7, ended up with 26. I intend on looking at all 26 of his points and using them on the radio, but not necessarily doing that here in the pulpit. But every now and then, I've been pulling from that. I think I preached through 11. I think I finished up 11 of those prayer secrets on the radio. And really, they're just, I guess, really just short sermons. They don't couple together necessarily, but just short sermons on prayer that are little nuggets that our Lord is using to teach us to pray. They all go back to Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. And the Bible talks about that when Jesus was praying in a certain place after He had finished, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. And I'm thinking about the fact that in our country, our nation needs prayer more than it ever has. Our families and our homes need prayer more than it ever has. Our children and grandchildren need prayer more than they ever have. Our churches need prayer. I mean, you just go on. Prayer is needed today like it's never been needed before. Amen. Somebody might say, well, you know, money is needed today. A lot of people need money for this, that, and other. And by the way, I know that in the giving, some of you, and I appreciate your giving, your gracious giving, some people, $10 is almost as hard to come by as $100 is for others. Amen. I appreciate people giving, not necessarily out of their abundance. I do appreciate that giving out of abundance, but then those that that give hard. But here's what I'm thinking about. Money might be needed, but money still works even when money is needed. In other words, when money's scarce, gold is scarce, silver's scarce. Those things are scarce, yet when you get it, it still works. Well, prayer might be needed today, prayer might be scarce today, but prayer still works. It still works if we just use it. If we'll just put it into practice. Amen. And so I want to try to think on prayer a little bit. I'll just throw out, just by introduction, what I've looked at already. Here from the pulpit, I preached the first prayer secret is the introduction to prayer. Then number four was the second one we looked at. And you can ask me about that, those numbers later. But number four, I talked about the atmosphere of prayer. And then just this past Sunday, I preached number five and number six. Number five is the address. We address our prayer to the Father through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then the last one that we looked at on Sunday night last week was prayer secret number six, which is the key to prayer. We come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the name, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm glad that. So tonight I want to look at prayer secret number nine. This is number nine, and I call it prayer's storehouse. The storehouse of prayer. The bank that we get to draw on when we write our checks of prayer, if I could say it that way. And I'm glad that God has got a storehouse in heaven. Amen. But my God shall supply all your need. That tells me He's got a storeroom that's stocked pretty well. Whatever our need is, God's got it in store. He does not have to make a new one. He's got it on the shelf just waiting for us to ask. Amen. He's not running short, running scarce. He's got plenty of supply. So I want to preach about prayer's storehouse. If I can, by the grace of God, it won't be but just a short message tonight. Turn back to Romans chapter number 2, and I'll show you some things. The Bible talks about God being rich. God having riches, and I'm not going to exhaust that thread of thought, but I just want to show you some of it a little bit. In Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 4, he's talking to the man that doesn't recognize the goodness of God and that the fact that God's goodness leads us to repentance. But look at verse 4. Despisest thou, here's the phrase, the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. My God is rich, but He's rich in more than money. He's rich in goodness. He's got plenty, amen, plenty of goodness. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. Not only does He have riches of goodness, but He's got riches of grace. In Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 7. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Amen. God's got plenty of grace. You've heard it said, and I've said it a few times lately. I remember, matter of fact, I said it to Mrs. Woodard when Brother Woodard was in the hospital and situations going on like they were. And I said to her, I said, I know sometimes we need more grace. Thank God God's grace is sufficient. God's got plenty of grace. And when you need more, you can call on Him. He's got all you need. I'm glad that's so. He's rich not only in goodness, but He's rich in grace. Now look at Ephesians chapter 3. And verse number 16, one more of His riches. God, the Bible says in verse 16 of chapter 3, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Amen. He's not only rich in goodness, He's rich in grace, but He's rich in glory. Hallelujah. And He deserves the glory and the praise. He's got a mighty reservoir of riches, and there's nothing too hard for Him. Amen. And so, having said that, I want to think about His riches real quickly and His supply. Four things I want to point out to you, if I can, by the grace of God. Number one, I want you to think about how vast is His supply. How vast is His supply. Have you ever thought about how large God's storehouse must be? Amen. How big the storeroom of grace must be for God to have everything in it. First of all, I think about that. Number one, nobody can count His riches. He's so rich that we can't even count it. Amen. He's got so much goodness and so much grace and so much glory that we just say He's rich in grace and He's rich in goodness and He's rich in glory. But Paul said in all those cases, not only is He rich, He's got riches. He's rich and richer and richest. He's got all the riches of grace, thank God, and all the riches of glory and all the riches of goodness at His disposal. Amen. Turn back to Romans chapter number 11 and I'll show you something there that Paul talked about. Excuse me, Romans chapter 11. Excuse me. Paul is talking about the goodness of God. God sparing people, amen, that should have been dead. People that should have never had a chance. He grafted us in and He grafted back in Israel. He's talking about in chapter 12 there. And thank God for that. Or chapter 11 there. He's talking about God doing that great thing with that olive tree and the wild olive branch. Amen. And God's still going to save Israel in one day. He talks about that in our text here. But look at verse number 33. He's building up and He's talking about how great God is. Look what He says in verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Paul's thinking about the riches of God, and he gets to that point, he says, oh, I can't even count how great God is. I'll just say, how vast are His riches? How deep is His supply? He's got all I need and then some. He's got all you need and then some. He's got enough to reach those that we think are unreachable and then some. Amen. I'm glad there's room at the cross for you. The song says, though millions have come, there's still room for one. And there's room at the cross for you. But there's room in God's storehouse for all you need. Amen. He's got it all. Nobody can count His riches. Let me say secondly about how vast His supply. No one needs to count His riches. Amen. No one needs count His riches. Have you ever been on vacation and you took plenty, you know you took plenty of money. Until you got there. Money has a way of getting gone real quick when you're going on a vacation. And when you get to certain places that the kids are wanting to say, let's go there, let's do that, or let's see that. And by the way, almost everything costs money anymore. Amen. And most everything costs more money than it looks like it should be. I mean, just seems like. But you get there, and you know what you do? You'll pull out your money and say, well, I better count my money. Why? Because you've only got a limited supply. Matter of fact, you're getting to the point, you're realizing your supply is really limited. That you may be getting down to the last of it and you don't want to overdo or you don't want to be embarrassed when you get up there and don't have the funds. So you want to count the cost. Well, do you know when we've got a problem and we bring it to God, God never says, let me count my money. Let me see what I got. Let me make sure that I'm not running behind. Let me make sure that I ain't already give out so much that I don't have enough to give a little more. Amen. God never has to count His riches. Amen. He's got all we need. Matter of fact, our text says, my God shall supply all, A-double-L, all your need. Paul didn't ask how big your need. He's telling us how big our God is. Amen. Because how big our problem is nothing in comparison to how big our God is and how big His supply is. Amen. By the way, Paul's not talking about something he didn't know. Paul's not talking about something he just read or heard somebody else say. Paul had delved into the riches of God's grace. Paul had had occasion time and again to test God's grace. And Paul found God's grace to be sufficient. Turn to 2 Corinthians and you'll see that in the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. Paul had reason to thank God for His boundless supply. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 7 through 9, Paul's talking about this thing that's upon him, this messenger of Satan, thorn in the flesh. Verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Amen. So Paul said, I had a problem, and it's a bad problem. I asked God to remove it. God said, I'm not going to remove it. Matter of fact, Paul came to realize that God put it there on purpose. Amen. There's a man said this at the camp this week. I listened to it on the computer. And a man made this statement. Matter of fact, Brother Toby Powers, he preached the last message on Thursday night and Friday night. And I believe it was on Friday night. And he preached a very good message talking about the Spirit of God out of Genesis 1-2. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. And as he's preaching about that, he's talking about God speaking and the wind blowing. And he got to talking about how that Jesus is in control of the wind. And he went through some of the scriptures, how that those disciples were in the boat and the storm was howling and the waves were beating against them. Here's what he said. He said it right. He said, it may be that those waves that's about to come into your ship is not sent by the devil. He said, it may be that the wind that you think is about to capsize your boat and take you down is not from the enemy. But it may be that the Lord's been up on the mountain. He's prayed up a storm around you. Because He's fixing to come walking on the water and reveal Himself to you. I said, praise God, Brother Powers. He's right. Sometimes God puts us in the boat and puts us in the sea and puts us in the middle of a storm. He does it on purpose. He lets these things come our way, and we say, oh Lord, I don't know if I can handle this or not. And we say, Lord, take it away. And it may be that He says, as He did with Paul, I'm not going to take it away, but I got a storehouse that's got plenty of grace. Hey man, all you need, I've got grace enough to supply your needs. Paul said, if that's so, I'll just stay tapped into the grace of God and go right on with my troubles. Amen. Amen. How vast is His supply? Secondly, I want you to notice how varied is His supply. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't it true that we have multiple needs? We have multiple needs. It's not just that we have one need. Amen. And the Bible says, and I quote this sometimes to certain people, the Bible says, ye have need of patience. Does anybody in here need patience? I'd say there's a lot of us need patience. And we need it quick, don't we? Amen. No, but seriously, we need patience. And we think about that, but that's just one little thing. We need more than just patience. Some of us need health. Some of us, we need God to help us with a problem that we've got over here. We need God to help us financially. We need God to help us in our family. Some people need God to save them from their sin. There's so many needs. There's a vast amount and a varied number of needs. So there's multiple needs and there's multiple kinds of needs. And yet I'm glad we don't have to worry about it. God has a variety of supply. Amen. A varied supply. There is a variety of requests, different things that we ask for as we come. We've got different personalities, right? Different personalities, and so, and our circumstances are different. We got different temptations that come our way. By the way, you may need something different tomorrow than what you needed today. Amen. Certain times in your life, you may feel like you need one thing, and then you go on, and after a while, you've got that. That's all right, but you're needing help in another area. Our needs are varied. Our requests are varied. But I'm glad the variety of our requests is only matched by the variety of God's resources. Amen. God has at His disposal unlimited, infinite resources. Amen. Now, and I'm going to say this is a little funny, but it's right. Politicians, and by the way, it didn't just start this electoral cycle. It's been going on all my life. Every politician is going to fix every problem, from the common cold to your cat getting stuck in a tree. If you just give them enough money and enough time, they'll solve everything. Just get them elected. I mean, some of them done been elected and elected and elected and elected. But if they could just get elected one more time, they could solve every problem. The truth is, they're promising more than they can give. I believe some of them know they're promising more than they can give. I believe they know that. And by the way, I guess I just take time out just a minute. Everything can't be free.
Right.
Matter of fact, nothing is free. Right. Somebody has to pay for everything. Amen. Somebody does. But they make all these promises. But here's our God in heaven. Our God in heaven never makes a promise He can't back up. There's never a need comes to Him that He can't supply. Whatever your problem is, I'm glad He does have the answer for our need. Amen. He's got the resources. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4. And I'll show you this in chapter. Let me start with chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And then we'll go to chapter 4. There's a word used twice, and Peter uses it both times. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm in 2 Peter. I knew that didn't look right. 1 Peter chapter number 1. A word's translated manifold. It's used several times. The word manifold is used several times, but this one particular Greek word's only used twice in the New Testament. Peter uses it both times. 1:6. And the Bible says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold, look at that next word, temptations. Now he's talking about trials. He's talking about testings. He's talking about troubles. And Peter's saying, you know, you've got troubles. Some of you got bunches of troubles. Some of you got a bunch of different kinds of troubles. But look at 1 Peter chapter 4, he uses the very same word, and it's not tied to temptations, chapter 4, verse 10, but it's tied to the grace of God. Look at verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another as good stewards, look at this, of the manifold grace of God. Amen. And so Peter said, I realize some of you's got troubles, but God's got grace. Some of you's got bunches of troubles, God's got bunches of grace. Some of you's got different kinds and multiples of different kinds of troubles. God's got different kinds and multiples of different kinds of grace. And so just as varied as our requests are, God's got the resources. Amen. And so I'm glad that He does. Amen. Here's what I read. The guy King said it. He's the one that gave that thought. And here's what he said. He said, take your left hand and let your left hand represent your troubles. Your left hand has several different digits on it, and they're all different. And they're running in different ways, and they're moving in different avenues, but they're all right there on your left hand. You got all kinds of trouble. But he said, let the right hand represent God's manifold grace. For every trouble on the left hand, God's got an answer on the right. Amen. And for every need you've got over here, God's got the answer on the right. And any problem that arises our way, manifold temptations, manifold grace can cover and handle and deal with every problem that comes in our life. I say thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad we got such a good and a great God. Amen. Amen. So we'll talk about how vast is God's supply, the storehouse of prayer. How varied the variety of God's storehouse of prayer. Let me say number 3, think about how vulnerable, or opposite, how safe, how secure is God's storehouse of supply. Not only has God got everything that we ever needed in the past, He still got it. Nobody stole it from Him. He's not lost it. He's not misplaced it. Amen. Everything we needed yesterday, He had. And what we need today, He has. And what we'll need tomorrow, He'll still have when that time comes. His supply is not vulnerable, but His supply is secure and is safe. Turn back to Matthew chapter number 6, and our Lord Jesus tells us how secure is God's supply. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 19. Matthew 6, verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So our Lord said there's two places you can have treasures. You can have treasures on earth, where people break through and steal, where moths get in and corrupt and rust corrupts it. Or you can have treasures in heaven. And up there, there's no moths to corrupt it. There's no rust to corrode it. There's no thieves to get in and steal it. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches. Where's His riches at? In glory. His riches are not down here where that circumstances of earth can tarnish it. Amen. God's resources are yet shiny and pure gold. Amen. It's not tarnished by the things of this earth. Amen. I'm glad the circumstances of our world does not hinder God's storehouse of blessings. Amen. But not only that, men can't break through and steal. That's what he said there. Not only can moths not mess it up, and our world cannot destroy, the circumstances of our world cannot destroy or tarnish God's blessings in our life. Thank God the men and the ideas, the methods, the mechanizations of men, when men amass fortune, somebody else is sitting there, and sometimes it takes a genius to lock up all their gold and silver, but there's another genius working to try to get it away. Amen. And there's somebody trying to figure out a way to get in and steal it away, but our Lord said His riches are in glory. They're not going to be tarnished, and they're not going to be taken. Thank God. They're not going to be misplaced. They're not going to get lost. They're not going to be stolen. They're not going to dry up. Hallelujah. They're not going to diminish in the slightest His vast resources. Nothing missing. And then last of all, how verdict is His supply. Verdict's not a word we use much, but I heard it in a song sometime back. And I know some of the old timers, the Puritans especially, used the word. The word verdict means lavish, extravagant, generous. Verdict. Beautiful. It has the idea that when you talk about a verdant field, it's a fertile field is the idea that was in the song. In other words, God has all we need and then some, if I could say it that way. There's plenty more where that came from. Look back at our text, and I'm closing with this thought, because some people misquote the verse. Look at it, put your eyes on it, and I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to read it like some people say it. But my God shall supply all your need out of His riches and glory. That's not how it reads. God does not supply our riches out of His glory. Because if it was out of His glory, His glory or His riches and glory would be diminished. For example, if I take a drink out of that cup, there's one drink less in that cup. Amen. If you take money out of the offering plate, there's less money in the offering plate when you get done. God supplies our need not out of His riches and glory, because His riches and glory are not diminished when He supplies our need. But He supplies our need according to His riches and glory. In other words, this is it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. He is able to meet our need and then some. Amen. Ephesians 2:4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy. I'm glad He's not just rich in mercy. He's rich in money, if that's what you need. He's rich in grace, if that's what you need. He's rich in health, if that's what you need. I'm glad our God is able. As the song that Mrs. Hall sang there last, whatever your trouble is, take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Remember, He remembers the little bird. He takes care of every need, thank God. And He can do the same for me and you. You're worth more than a sparrow. and He feeds the sparrows. Amen. God has unimaginable wealth. God has resources. Amen. And that wealth and those resources reach every commodity and every circumstance and every currency. Every problem we have, God has the answer. And I'm so glad that He does. You remember the prodigal son when he'd wandered off down there? Spent all he had. Wasted his substance with riotous living. And to be honest with you, most of us would have more if we didn't waste as much. I mean, that's just, we'd be honest there. But he wasted his substance in riotous living. But when he came to himself, he remembered that in his father's house, there was not just bread, but there's bread enough and to spare. That's our Father in heaven. Amen. He's got all we need, and I'll just keep saying it, and then some. Amen. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus' blood can make you free, for He saved the worst among you when He saved a wretch like me. You can come to God. God can meet whatever need you've got. He's got plenty, plenty of grace. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed as they come with a song. Heavenly Father, I love You. Thank You for Your vast supply. Thank You for the variety of Your supply. Thank You for the fact it's not vulnerable. It's safe, secure. Lord, I want to thank You that Your supply is verdant. It's overflowing. It's more than enough. And I want to thank You that You are more than enough to save sinners. You're more than enough to put families back together, homes back together. You're more than enough to heal broken bodies. You're more than enough to answer prayer, whatever the problem is. Lord, I pray, help us, teach us, Lord, to pray. Help us to believe You. Help us to tap into the vast resources of grace. And then, Lord, help us to glorify Your name for meeting the need. We praise Your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right before we sing, thinking about the vast resources of God, and a thought came back to me again while I was praying about something that Brother Power said in his message. He said, when the Holy Spirit moves, even in our world today, God does things that we call miracles. But He said to God, they're not miracles. They're just standard operating procedure. It's just God doing what God does. Just God being God when He meets those needs. He's that good of a God, that rich in goodness and in grace and in glory. While we sing, if the Lord spoke to you and you need to come, obey the Lord and do whatever He says do while we sing. 157, just obey the Lord.